Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. Hopefully you can see me. I'm wearing blue and I'm standing by some blue curtains, so I probably camouflaged a little bit, but I am so glad to be with you this morning. Hey, this is an exciting weekend. If you've seen the email and you've maybe seen some social media posts, then you know that right now there is a live service going on too over at the community center, and we're gathering outside behind the community center and gathering a handful of people, and we're trying to be back together live. And just to let you know, we're going to keep doing online service because we understand that some people are traveling right now and some people just aren't ready to come back. So rest assured, online service is still going to happen. Our online campus is going to continue to grow and continue to bring church right into your home. And we look forward to the day when we can all be back together. But until then, just know that we're going to keep coming into your home and doing church together. So hey, we're going to keep going with the Like It or Not series. And I've been tempted. There's been a lot going on, and I really want to speak to some of those things. But I really want to speak to maybe what the pulse of God is, what God is doing through a lot of this. And I felt like today's message was going to be really timely. So we're going to be in part 7. And I'm going to read the passage in just a second. But do you remember as a kid? Now, I don't, hopefully some of you are old enough to remember this. There was a time when you'd be wrestling or you'd be fighting or somebody would be doing something. And in order for them to get off of you or to stop putting you in a headlock or to stop doing whatever they were doing, they'd say mercy. You would play the game mercy, like where one of you would have to cry out mercy to get the other one to stop. Or sometimes I heard people would use the word uncle, so say uncle, but it really just means show me mercy, stop doing that thing. And I feel like our circumstances, I feel like the pressure, I feel like the pain that we're feeling as a people, through not only the COVID-19 thing, but through the demonstrations and all that those represent, those are painful for us to experience, to watch, to struggle with, to have that internal conversation and find out where we land and how we need to grow. And I got to be honest with you, these circumstances for the last 10 weeks, and especially in the most recent weeks, they feel like almost too much. And I feel like I need to cry mercy. I feel like they're so much more than I can handle. But can I tell you why that is for most of us? Is because there's something inside of us that needs to change. Can I say that again? There's something inside of us that needs to change. As we look around and we see the effects that all these things have on us, something in us needs to change. And I can tell you this, it is your humanity and my humanity. It is our brokenness. And by brokenness, I don't mean pain. I mean more brokenness, in that we are broken in our wholeness with God. Let me read out of Matthew 5:7. We're going through the Beatitudes together. Beati is the Latin word for happy, for joyful, content. Beati means happy. And so Jesus went through a series of things and he said, happy are you when this painful, uncomfortable pressure comes into your life, this loss happens in your life, because God's going to do something to change you. So here's what it says in Matthew 5:7. They are blessed, they are happy, who show mercy to others, for God will show mercy to them. When I hear the word mercy, I think of freedom, I think of joy, I think of coming out from under something that has been weighing me down, that's been breaking me, that's been shattering me, that's been oppressing me. And whether that's from an outside force or my own making, I desire mercy in my life. And God says, happy are you when you give mercy to other people. So let me stop right there and say this. Mercy is something that does not come naturally to us. We are people of justice, and so we want justice first. We look around, and we want people to pay the price for the wrong things they've done. So mercy doesn't come easily to us. So when it says, happy are you when you give away mercy, when you're free with your mercy, because God will then show mercy to you, that is a complex journey that you and I have to go on to get there. So take out your notes if you don't already have them out. To walk in the freedom and joy of God's mercy, number one, my mercy has to go deeper than my own righteousness. I'll say it again. My mercy has to go deeper than my own righteousness. Let me read this passage of scripture to you. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Of course, it's in your Bible. This is out of the New Living Translation, Matthew 9, 10 through 13. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees, the religious experts, saw this, they asked his disciples, Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. And then it returns to Jesus speaking, for I've come to call those, not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus said, I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who are sinners. So let me tell you, there's two things we can know about how you and I interact with mercy. We almost always start off with the premise that we are more right than other people. The reason I know that is because as I watch social media right now, I hear a lot of people say things like, the death of George Floyd is terrible, it's bad, but, and they're about to qualify that statement and lecture on things that they see that are wrong with what demonstrators and protesters and rioters are doing, right? Even as I'm saying it, some of you are feeling that right now. That's because you and I come from a position where we believe we know better. We believe that we are morally superior to people that act badly, that do things we would never do. Therefore, we think we're in the position to pass judgment on people and under certain circumstances withhold mercy. In other words, it's showing grace. Here's what mercy is: showing grace to people when you are in the power, you have the ability, and you're in the position to punish them. Okay? Mercy is releasing them, knowing that you could hold them accountable reputationally, knowing that you could hold them accountable legally, knowing that you can hold them accountable morally, but still choosing to show grace when you're in the power, you have the power to judge them. Okay? We acknowledge we have our shortcomings. We just believe that our shortcomings are not as bad as other people's shortcomings. I'll do this, but I certainly wouldn't do that. I mean, I've done this stuff before, but I don't do that as much as anymore. And I can tell you, I absolutely would never, ever do this thing. Secondly, here's what we feel about mercy. We'll give mercy as long as people meet our conditions. In other words, we make mercy conditional. There must be a qualifier or a stipulation, or they must make some sort of payment in order to receive mercy. So show me that you're sorry, or show me that you've learned your lesson. Show me that you're not going to do it again. Make restitution. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge that you're wrong. Promise that you're going to change your ways. Or we put some other hurdle in the way from mercy flowing freely and unrestricted from us. Let me say this about mercy. If it has even a single condition, it stops being mercy. I'm going to say that one more time. If your mercy is qualified in any way whatsoever, if it has one single stipulation, it is no longer mercy. Listen to what Timothy Keller says. He's a great author, and he says this: mercy and forgiveness must be free and unmerited, in other words, unearned, to the wrongdoer. Mercy and forgiveness must be free and unmerited to the wrongdoer. If the wrongdoer has to do with something, or has to do something, and I put in the brackets, meet your sense of justice. If the offender, if the wrongdoer has to meet your sense of justice or qualify in some way to merit your mercy, then it isn't mercy at all. If you look at God's gift of grace and mercy to you and I, there is absolutely, and this is what the Bible says, absolutely nothing you and I can do to merit, to earn, to qualify for God's mercy. And those in your life that you see doing wrong, whether they've offended you personally, sinned against you personally, or you just simply stand back and judge from a distance, God calls on you to give unmerited, unrestricted grace and mercy to people. Number two is this: to walk in the freedom and joy of God's mercy. Number two, my empathy has to eclipse my sense of justice. Has to eclipse my sense of justice. Listen to James 2, 12 through 13. You will be judged on whether or not you are doing what Christ wants you to do. So watch what you do and what you think, for there will be no mercy. This is worth circling, by the way. No mercy to those who have shown no mercy. But if you've been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you. Love this scripture. So I got to tell you, though, there's good news and there's bad news. Don't you hate when people say that? I got some good news and I got some bad news, especially if it's a teenager driving your car and they say, I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is I'm alive. Bad news, the car's not looking so good. So I've got good news and I've got bad news about this passage. Here's the bad news first. You and I are going to be judged by God. Now, I got to tell you, that's bad news because you and I, on a daily basis, have done a lot of things that are a major disappointment to God. You have sinned. I've sinned. We've thought things, said things, done things, omitted things from our life that should have been included and included things in our life that should have been omitted. We're struggling with the same kind of nonsense we have been for years. You and I have a lot of things that God is going to judge us on. In this particular case, listen, in this particular case, he's judging us on whether or not we've done what we're supposed to do with mercy in our life. So God has resourced you and I. God has given you and I an ample supply of mercy. And he said we are responsible to give that mercy away freely. He said, I'm going to judge you based on what you've done, what I've told you you need to do, what you're required to do. If you have not given mercy, then you will not get mercy. So God's going to judge you and I on how merciful we are. And I want to ask you this question. Over the last few weeks, where are you at on your mercy meter? Where are you at in giving unmerited grace, unmerited forgiveness, unmerited empathy to the struggle and pain and sin and wrongdoing and failure of others? No matter where you stand on any of it, where are you in doing what God requires of us? So here's some good news. I'm gonna assume that, like me, you're going to need to say you're sorry to God for not being generous with your mercy, that you're going to have to acknowledge that you haven't not qualified your mercy, that you've said, well, I think it's fine as long as, and I wouldn't have a problem unless that. I want you to ask yourself this question. Find the most offensive thing that's happened in the last couple weeks that's really, truly offended you about somebody else's behavior. Doesn't have to be on the news. It can be somebody in your own life. And ask this question: did I give them unmerited, unrestricted flow of grace and mercy? So here's some good news. In that scripture, God says, I'm going to judge you based on what you've done with mercy, whether you've done it or not, whether you've acted or thought or given mercy in the way that you're supposed to. And then he says, you are not going to get any mercy from me if you haven't given mercy. And then there's a big old but, single T but, B-U-T. And it says, I'm going to call it our get out of jail free card. Don't you love those in Monopoly? It's our escape clause that God puts in there so that he says, listen, you're going to get judged and it's not going to go well for you. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will always win out over his judgment against you. Here's what God says. You may not have been merciful like you're supposed to be, but if you start showing mercy, then I will show mercy to you instead of judgment. You and I aren't in a position to judge anyone. We're only in a position to give grace. And so if we do anything but give grace and mercy, then God says, fine, then in that case, I will also judge you instead of showing mercy. But if you show mercy, I'll show mercy to you and I'll withhold my judgment. Now, you and I don't practice mercy well. It doesn't come easily to us and it doesn't come naturally to us, like I said in the beginning. But I love this passage, and this is what we'll close on, Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. We have a high priest, that's Jesus, by the way, who can feel it, that's empathy, by the way, when we are weak and hurting. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Weak and hurting, he's talking about living out our hurt through sin. We have a high priest who can feel it when we are weak or hurting. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. In other words, he came to experience temptation so that he could empathize with our temptation. But he did not sin, which means he's the only one qualified to stand in judgment of us, because he's the only one who's lived his life sinlessly. So let us boldly approach God's throne. Then we will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it. Can I tell you this? Here's the miracle of what Jesus did. He came, he was tempted just like you and I are tempted, but he did not sin, so that he could empathize with us on what we struggle with. And he still showed mercy, even though he never sinned. Now, check this out. You and I should be even more empathetic with people in demonstrating mercy, because we have failed like other people. I mean, wrap your mind around that for a second. Jesus never even failed, so it would make him technically less empathetic. Yet Jesus showed mercy to us in all of our sinfulness and all of our brokenness and all of our failures and all of our mistakes. Jesus still shows mercy to us. You and I, having failed ourselves, should be in multiplied fashion more merciful to people, more empathetic to people, more grace-filled to people. Understand that people's sin comes from a place of hurt and destruction and brokenness. I don't know many people who want to destroy their own lives. There are a few, but not many. I know that people are lost, and I know that people are crying out, and I know that people are in pain, and people act out terribly when they're in pain. I'll close with this illustration. I told you this story before of one of our three little dogs. It's our rat terrier, Lucy, and she had gotten caught by a neighbor's dog, a pit bull, who had put his head through the fence, had gotten a hold of her front paw and pulled her halfway through the fence and was pulling her through, and she was yelping and crying out in pain. I went and began to punch the dog through the fence as much as I could to try and get him to stop biting her. And I had a hold of her, and when I pulled her free, she turned and bit me. I didn't hold that against her because she was in pain, because she was hurting, because she was scared. She did the wrong thing. She bit me, her owner, her master, the one who feeds her and loves her and cares for her, but she was being attacked by an enemy. And I have to tell you, there is a world around us that is in pain, who are being attacked by the enemy, who don't know that they're being rescued or attempted to be rescued by the hope and the grace and the love of Christ. And so they bite and they lash out and they hurt. And you and I need to be unreserved and unrestricted in our grace and our mercy, because blessed are those who give mercy, because they will receive the mercy of God. Father, I thank you for every person listening this morning and watching in their homes, in their cars, wherever they are, that they settle down for just a moment and have church together. And I pray in Jesus' name that they be recipients of your mercy, because they are great givers of your mercy. And if they need to repent, God, as I've had to do many times, and say, Lord, check my heart. I am not free with my mercy. I merit my mercy. I only give it out in accordance to my sense of my own justice. And I have to ask for your forgiveness. God, I pray in Jesus' name you would free us from our own self-righteousness, and that you would overwhelm us with your mercy, so that we would let it flow through us and not stop with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us again today for Church at Home. Please reach out to us if you need anything. We're praying for you. We love you. God bless you. We hope to see you again soon.